हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। Somebody is missing? Many are missing, no? Okay. This batch is smaller, right? I spoke to you when? Eighth canto. Okay. Eighth canto over you. No, ninth canto over you. So, ninth canto, the prominent theme in the ninth canto is Ishanukatha. Isha Anukatha. Means the katha, the stories of the followers of Lord Vishnu. Right? Isha is the supreme controller. So, in the eighth canto, in the last chapter, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about Vaivasvata Manu. Right? So, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know more in detail about Vaivasvata Manu and his dynasty. So, can someone... So this is the bird's eye view of the entire ninth canto. So the ninth canto begins with Sukadeva Goswami's description of Vaivasvata Manu's descendants, means Sun dynasty. So Sun dynasty is 13 chapters. Moon dynasty is 11 chapters. Right? So in the part of Sun dynasty only we have the descriptions of Sudyumna, Ila, Prishadra, all these people are there. So from the Supreme Lord, Brahmaji comes. So from Brahma, Marichi comes. Marichi's son is Kashyapa. He marries Aditi. Right? So from them come Vaivasvan. So from Vaivasvan, we have Shraddhadeva or Vaivasvata. Vaivasvan's son is Vaivasvata. So Vaivasvata Manu's descendants are described in the 13 chapters. Right? That is the Sun dynasty. So, Vaivasvata Manu has one daughter, Ila, and 10 sons. And the descendants of those 10 sons are discussed in these 13 chapters. So in the first chapter, we have Sudyumna becoming a woman. Right? So, we'll go verse by verse. First, when Parikshit Maharaj asked to know more about Vaivasvata Manu's dynasty, Sukadeva Goswami began describing that from Supreme Lord Brahmaji came, Brahmaji's son is Marichi, Marichi's son is Kashyapa, then Vivaswan. So their 10 sons are Ikshvaku, Nriga, Sharyati, Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prushadra, Nabhaga and Kavi. These are the 10 sons. Plus one daughter, Ila. So once Vaivasvatamanu was doing a sacrifice to get some sons. So Vaivasvatamanu's wife is Shraddha. But she had a desire to get a daughter. Vaivasvatamanu's desire was to get a son, but his wife's desire was to get a daughter. So she told the priest, chief priest, so I want a daughter. Then the priest chanted some mantras so that she would get a daughter. Then finally the queen got a daughter. Then Vaivasvatamanu was little surprised. Hey, I wanted a son. How come I got a daughter? He felt like that. Then Vasishta, their whatever Kulguru. So he told Vaivasvatamanu that your wife wanted a daughter and the priest chanted a mantra so that you get a daughter. So that's why you are getting a daughter. So otherwise your sacrifice is meant to give you a son only. So he understood. Then he was a little disappointed. So what happened was Vasishta then again with his powers and all, so he transformed that daughter into a son. Right? So he became Sudyumna. So Sudyumna grew up and then once he went into forest. This is all for your entertainment. So he went into a forest to do some hunting and all. So without knowing, he just entered into a place which he's not supposed to enter. That is Shiva's place. So once Shiva and Parvati were doing their intimate pastimes, and some sages happened to go there. So at that time Parvati was not properly dressed, right, because they were intimately having pastimes. So Parvati felt very embarrassed. Then Shiva gave a benediction. So whoever enters this place will become a female, right? The only male in this place should be Shiva. All others are females only. So Sudyumna, without knowing this, he just entered the place and he became a female. So he became Ila, right? So this is the story of Sukumara forest, which I just mentioned. So this is the image for Ilavrita Varsha in the fifth canto. Then that Ila, so that son of Vaivasvatamanu, Sudyumna, he became Ila. He became a daughter. So then that Ila was married to Buddha. Right? Buddha is connected to Moon dynasty. Right? That we will see in the 14th chapter. So Buddha marries Ila. And their son is Pururava. Right? So, but Ila was like not very happy. I lost my malehood. What happened? So I want my malehood back. Then Vasishta took him to Lord Shiva. So Shiva gave a benediction to this Ila that you will be a male for 1 month, Sudyumna, and you will be a female for 1 month, Ila. Right? That same personality is male for 1 month and female for 1 month. When he is male, he is called Sudyumna. When she is female, he is called Ila. She is called Ila. So that was the benediction. So Sudyumna regained his maleness. So because Vasishta prayed to Lord Shiva. Then this Sudyumna as a male, right? The same Sudyumna as Ila, as a female, he gave birth to Pururava, getting married to Buddha. Then the same Sudyumna as a female, as a male, he gave birth to Utkala, Gaya and Vimala, three sons. Right? These are the three sons of Sudyumna. So that is the first chapter. So in the second chapter, we have Sudyumna getting retired and then Manu worship the Lord. So Sudyumna, after giving birth to three sons, he retired. So Vaivasvatamanu worshipped the Lord and then he got 10 more sons. So he got a son daughter, Sudyumna Ila, and he wanted more sons. So he got 10 sons. So what happened to those 10 sons will be discussed now. So Vaivasvatamanu has 10 sons, Ikshvaku, Nriga, Sharyati, Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prushadra and Nabhaga and Kavi. Right? And with the same wife, Shraddha. So first we will discuss the story of Prushadra. So Prushadra although he is the son of a king, Vaivasvatmanu, so he takes care of the cows, Goshala, Goshala Seva. Right? So once in the Goshala, a tiger entered, right, to kill the cows and eat. So Prishadra wanted to kill the tiger, but by mistake, he killed the cow instead of killing the tiger. So that was like a Gohatya. So this Gohatya mistake that Prishadra committed unknowingly was communicated to Vasishta. So Vasishta came to know, Prishadra killed cow. So then Vasishta cursed, right? How can Prishadra kill a cow? Although it is done it by a mistake, Gohatya, Vasishta considered it very seriously, and then he cursed Prishadra, right? So Prishadra went and took Brahmacharya, and he engaged in his pure devotional service, and eventually he achieved spiritual world. That's what has happened to Prishadra. Then another son of Vaivasvatmanu is Kavi. So he went to the forest and he meditated on the Supreme Lord, and eventually he attained perfection. Then later, not much stories of these four sons are mentioned. It is summarized that Karusha, Drishta, Narishyanta and Dishta. So their descendants were briefly mentioned. The names of all these sons of these kings were mentioned. So far we have discussed Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prishadra and Kavi. So six of them, right? So six sons were described. Now, another son's story, it is little more elaborately mentioned in the third chapter. So once Sukanya and Shariyati, so we have this Shariyati, you see the third green box. So all the orange boxes are already described. So now the third green box, Shariyati, is being described now in the third chapter. So Shariyati had a daughter. The daughter's name was Sukanya. So once Sukanya and Shariyati went to Chavanamunish ashram. So there they saw Sukanya, being a young girl, so she saw some glowing thing, right, in a ant hole, right? So she was attracted by that light, whatever. She just kind of pierced it. Then suddenly Chavanmuni came of the hole of the earthworm, right? So then she realized, I did a big mistake. I disturbed the sadhu. He was engaged in his tapasya or whatever, and he was sitting inside the earthworm's hole. So she was a little bewildered. And this Chavanamuni is a very irritable person, that he's impatient. So Sukanya understood that she did a mistake, and her father, who is at Shariyati, so he became so afraid, this Muni might curse me or curse my daughter, something will happen. So what I will do is, I will give my daughter in marriage to this old Muni, right, old sage, so that he need not curse. So Sukanya was given in marriage to this old Chavanamuni. But Sukanya, being a very chaste lady, so she constantly served Chavanamuni very with great diligence, right? Although he is very irritable, still with a lot of patience she was serving. So one day this Ashwini Kumaras came, and Chavanamuni wanted to become a young man. So Ashwini Kumaras and Chavanamuni, they went into a actually Ashwini Kumaras took Chavanamuni into a lake, and then they came out, right? Chavanamuni became like a very beautiful young man. So all three of them, two Ashwini Kumaras plus Chavanamuni, were present in front of Sukanya, and they were thinking, Sukanya was thinking, who is this? Right? Who are the three beautiful people? Who is my husband? So finally she chooses her own husband, although he is in a different body, right? Then later Shariyati comes to Chavanamuni's ashram. Then he sees our Sukanya is being associated with one young man. Then Shariyati becomes so angry. Hey, I got you married with Chavanamuni, and you are associating with another young man. What is this? Right? Then Sukanya says, he actually our Muni only, Chavanamuni only. So because of Ashwini Kumar's mercy, he was transformed into a young man. So I'm associating with him only. I did not deviate from the path of chastity. So he says like that. Then Shariyati's sons. So Shariyati's daughter is described in the third chapter. So now we have the description of Shariyati's sons. So he has three sons, Bhurisena, Anartha, and Uttanabarhi. Anartha's son is Revata, and Revata has 100 sons. One of them is Kakudmi. Right, Kakudmi, and he has 99 other sons. So this Kakudmi, he went to Brahmaji. Right? So what was his desire? His son, his daughter, name is Revati, and then he wanted to get his daughter married to a very qualified person. So he wanted to he wanted that Brahma should select that bridegroom. Right? So he went there. So while he was waiting for Brahma's appointment, 27 Chaturyugas passed. So then Brahmaji was hearing that ha ha hoo hoo, whatever. They were doing some musical performance, and then Brahmaji was listening that. So the time scale in the higher planets and the lower planets is different. 27 Chaturyugas passed. Then Kakudmi was waiting there. Then Brahmaji came out and said, oh, good, you are waiting. But what happened was 27 Chaturyugas passed. Now we are in the... now Balramji is there, right? But your daughter is so big, right? She is of the size of Satyuga ladies, right? So Balramji is like appeared in the end of Dwapar Yuga. He's in a different size. But still you can manage to... He's the right person to marry your daughter. Then Balramji, then Kakudmi comes and gives the daughter, Revati, to Balramji. And Balramji, he takes his plow and then puts on the shoulder of this Revati and then pulls her down. She becomes small, like of the marriageable height, right? Generally, ladies have to be on a little shorter than the husband, right? So he makes her like that. And then Balramji marries Revati. That is about Kakudmi. So far we have discussed... yes, Prabhu, question? It's there somewhere in the commentaries. And so, Vaivasvata Manu plus Shraddha, they had 10 sons. Out of them, 7 sons we have discussed. First two chapters, 6 sons. Then third chapter, Sukanya and Chavana, that is Shariyati. Shariyati's descendants are discussed. 3 more sons. All the 3 green dabbas we have to discuss now. Ikshvaku, Nruga and Nabhaga. So we will start with Nabhaga. So fourth chapter discusses about Nabhaga. So Nabhaga, his son's name is Nabhaga. The diacritics are important now only. Nabhaga's son is Nabhaga, and Nabhaga's son is Ambarisha. This is the line. So Ambarisha's activities are very elaborately discussed. Nabhaga's story is briefly discussed. So Nabhaga, and he has some other brothers also, right? So they divided the property of Nabhaga, right, amongst themselves. And these brothers told Nabhaga that you have, as a share of your property, you have received your father. Father is your share of the property. You take care of your father. Then Nabhaga goes and asks Nabhaga. So father, our brothers have divided the share of the property. And they are saying that you are my property. Nabhaga says, I am not your property. Right? So, but my suggestion to you is, you need some property, you need some wealth. So you should go and... there is some sacrifice that is happening. Some Angira's descendants were making a sacrifice. So you should go and take wealth from there. So he goes, Nabhaga goes and asks for the wealth in that sacrifice. Then Lord Shiva comes and says, whatever wealth is there in the sacrifice, that belongs to me. Right? So not you. He says, no, no, my father told me that this money belongs to me, property belongs to me. Then Shiva and Nabhaga both go to Nabhaga. Right, then finally Shiva gives the wealth as a benediction to Nabhaga. Right, so our Sukadeva Goswami gives a falastuti. One who hears this story will understand the Vedic hymns nicely. So that is about Nabhaga's story. So Nabhaga's son is Ambarisha. So Ambarisha is a very exalted devotee. Savai manah Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanuvartmani. So he engages all his senses in various services of the Supreme Lord. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami summarizes this whole story, saying that because of the curse of a Brahmana, who is Durvasa, right? So some fiery demon came and then kind of attacked Ambarisha, but still that also could not affect Ambarisha. So Ambarisha could not be affected by even the curse of a Brahmana. So the displeasure of Brahmana will cause such great problem to anyone, right? That's why our Diti, right? Diti was little relieved to know that Vishnu will kill her sons, right? Oh, I'm happy that you told me that Vishnu will kill my sons, not the wrath of Brahmanas. The wrath of Brahmanas is considered more dangerous than Vishnu's anger also. So here Ambarish Maharaj was not affected by the curse of Durvasa, and Parikshit Maharaj was surprised, right? So then there was little more elaboration on this episode. So he did not care for, or Ambarish Maharaj did not care for material opulence or the universe or anything. So he was a very ideal king. He performed so many sacrifices for the welfare of people and for the pleasure of Krishna. He was engaged in deity worship also. So Lord was so pleased with Ambarish Maharaj that he gives him his own Sudarshan Chakra in the custody of Ambarish Maharaj. So once on an Ekadashi day, Durvasa comes, right? So Ambarish Maharaj was doing a vrata for one full year. He was fasting, and then he worshipped the Lord. He did Abhishek for the Lord. Then Durvasa Muni suddenly turns up as a guest, right? So Durvasa Muni, he goes to take a bath, and the paran time is crossing, right? Then some of the brahmanas, whatever the counselors of Ambarish Maharaj, suggest that you can take some water, right? So all Durvasa Muni is getting late. So Ambarish Maharaj takes some water, because taking water is considered breaking fast and not breaking fast also, right? You can do take water also and still you are considered that you are fasting, except on Nirjal day. So Durvasa Muni comes and understands that Ambarish Maharaj has taken water, right? Or a little few drops of Charanamrit, something like that. So Durvasa Muni becomes so angry. You have invited me as a guest, and before I eat, you are eating? What is this? What kind of host you are? Then he creates a fiery demon, right? Ambarish Maharaj did not move even a single millimeter from the place where he was standing, right? So, but this fiery demon was attacking Ambarish Maharaj, and the Sudarshan Chakra, which was given to Ambarish Maharaj by the Lord, he burnt this fiery demon into ashes. How can fire burn fire into ashes? How can something burn fire into ashes? Into nothing, not ashes. Into nothing. Fiery demon was burnt into nothing. Maharaj explains like this in one class. So, fiery demon was burnt to ashes or into nothing. So, then after vanquishing the fiery demon, Sudarshan Chakra starts chasing Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni goes from one planet to another planet for his life, right? He goes to Sumeru cave, he goes to Brahmaji, and then says, please protect me. The Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. Then Brahma says, no, I cannot protect you. Because Vishnu Sudarshan Chakra is chasing you, how can I protect you? Then he goes to Shiva. Shiva also says, I have no strength to protect you. Then he goes directly to Vishnu. So there was a very beautiful conversation that happened between Vishnu and Durvasa. That the essence of the conversation is that Vishnu says, I am not independent. You are the supreme controller, right? Supreme Ishvara, Parameshwara. How can you be not independent? He says, I am not independent because I am always controlled by the love and affection of my devotees. Ambarish Maharaj's love and affection has controlled me so much that now I have no strength to withdraw this Sudarshan Chakra, right? So then this Lord Narayana, Vishnu in Vaikuntha, he glorifies the devotee. Actually, this Durvasa Muni has the mystic power, has the ability to go even into Vaikuntha also. He could go to Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, and then Vaikuntha also, but still he was not as glorious as Ambarish Maharaj. So a mystic yogi from travel from one planet to another planet, but that doesn't mean his powers can surpass the potency of a devotee, right? So the Lord says, I am controlled by my devotees. Then Durvasamuni might say, how much are the devotees your object of affection? Then Lord says, without them, I do not desire to enjoy my opulences. Then Durvasamuni says, okay, fine, but you are affectionate to Brahmanas and I am a Brahmana. Right? Then the Lord says, my devotees give up their homes, wives, etc. for me. Devotees control me like a chaste wife controls their husbands. Right? But Brahmanas, they cannot. I am affectionate to Brahmanas, but I am more affectionate to my devotees. Right? Brahmanas are not so surrendered like this. So if a Vaishnava is surrendered, a devotee who is surrendered is more, is superior to Brahmana also. Or Prahlad Maharaj also says, Manye dhana abhijana rupa tapasrata vajasto tejas prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga. So there are so many qualifications of a Brahmana, but such a Brahmana cannot be superior to a Vaishnava who is surrendered to the Lord. So we are in each other's hearts. Means the Lord is in devotee's heart, devotee is in Lord's heart. So by offending Ambarish Maharaj, you have acted out of self-envy. When we are envying a Vaishnava, we are actually envying our own selves. Right? It's not that we are envying some other person. That is envy towards one's own self. Because envying another devotee will only vanquish the person who is envying him. Right? That means actually self-envying. Like that. Your power will harm you only. So how can a Kshatriya deliver Brahmana? He may say like that. You are saying all this, but I am a Brahmana, I am superior to Ambarish Maharaj, who is a Kshatriya. Brahmana is superior to Kshatriya. Right? But actually, Ambarish Maharaj's primary designation is he is a devotee. His secondary designation is he is an administrator. Right? That's a detail of the role that he is playing. But essentially, he is a devotee. So, austerity and learning of a non-gentle person are very dangerous. So, you are austere. You have a lot of knowledge, my dear Durvasamuni, but it's not of much use because you are not gentle. You are too harsh. So, the only suggestion I can give you, the only solution that I can give you in this circumstances is you should go to Ambarish Maharaj and satisfy him and take his shelter. Then Ambarish Maharaj. Then Durvasamuni goes and falls at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and then clasps his feet so tightly. But Ambarish Maharaj, he was so embarrassed. So when somebody does some mistake, one may kind of tolerate it. But if that person comes and begs forgiveness, so one may tolerate it out of grudge, out of official, what to say, out of some formality or something like that. Right? But internally he's holding that hatred or disgust. Right? But when someone comes and, when such a person who has offended, he comes and begs forgiveness and falls at his feet. The other person, although he was exhibiting tolerance, he would have some kind of pampering of his ego. Right? So sometimes, what I'm saying is, in our dealings with other people, sometimes other person might be at mistake and we may not be at mistake. Right? But like Ambarish Maharaj is very exalted Vaishnava, but in our ordinary dealings, so this person who was actually affected by that mistake might forgive him also, but it's not so, his heart is not so clean that there is absolutely no trace of disappointment or disgust towards the other person. Right? Like that. But the other person comes to proper consciousness and begs forgiveness, he actually feels, abhi samajh gaya tum logon ko, what am I? Then his ego gets satisfied. Is it not? But Ambarish Maharaj, he was already so embarrassed that because of me, Durvasa was so affected. Right? Durvasamuni for a long time, for 1 year he was going, he was doing this cosmic travel, and for that 1 year Ambarish Maharaj was fasting only. Ambarish Maharaj is such an exalted Vaishnava that he did not consider, that thought did not even enter his mind that Durvasamuni has done something wrong towards me. He was thinking that I only have done some offense towards Durvasamani. I deserve to be, you know, offended. I deserve to be punished or something like that. But when Durvasamani came and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, he felt so embarrassed, right? He was not feeling happy. Ah, okay. Now you have taken shelter of me, I'll forgive you, right? So he did not say like that. So in this material world, even our forgiveness is tinged with an egoistic attitude. But Ambarish Maharaj is not a man of this material world. He is from spiritual world, right? His consciousness is in spiritual world because Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunana Vartmani. His mind, his body, his hands, everything in relation to him is engaged in service of Krishna. So his forgiveness, his tolerance or his humility is unconditional. So we may show some conditional humility, conditional tolerance, right? Like that. He is humble. To what extent he is humble? Is he humbler than blade of grass or, right? He is humble to some extent, right? There is a degrees of humility, degrees of tolerance, degrees of forgiveness, right? So there are limits to which one can exhibit these Vaishnava qualities in this material world. But when pure devotees exhibit, we cannot compare our exhibition of Vaishnava qualities with those pure devotees' exhibition of Vaishnava qualities like that. Right, different people can exhibit Vaishnava qualities to different extents. Ambarish Maharaj is thoroughly forgiving. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he can forgive wholeheartedly. After fighting the whole war, Yudhishthira Maharaj had the simplicity and detachment to go and say that, my dear Duryodhan, you come and choose any one of us. We are five here. You choose anybody and defeat one of us, and then you take the kingdom. My God, such a liberal proposal. What happened if Duryodhan would have chosen Nakula or Sahadev, who are comparatively less powerful than Duryodhan, right, in terms of physical strength and all? But Duryodhan was so egoistic. How can I just take this Nakula and Sahadev? I'll fight with Bhima only, right? So he fought with Bhima and then he broke his thigh. So then Krishna was a little disturbed. Hey, Yudhishthira Maharaj, what he is doing, like that. So what happened was Ambarish Maharaj offered so many beautiful prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. Because it is Sudarshan Chakra that was chasing Durvasamani. So Sudarshan Chakra, although Durvasamani passed at various places, he went to Brahmaloka or Shivaloka and then asked them to give protection. But Sudarshan Chakra at that time, meanwhile, he didn't go and then chop him. Right? So the Sudarshan Chakra's intention was not to punish Durvasamani. Right? As long as when he was taking shelter, when he was humbling himself in front of someone, Sudarshan was actually waiting. Right? So in the passion of fulfilling one's own desire, right, a personality will not unnecessarily attack on the other person, at least when he is humble. A kshatriya is also there. When the other opponent is like taking rest, or just sitting, he was tired, he was showing his back, he will not unnecessarily go and attack them. Right? These are the rules of kshatriya war. So in the passion of fulfilling one's own desire, one may break all rules and then somehow get the work done. So that's a different, that's not dharma. Right? Sudarshan Chakra was also waiting. Sudarshan Chakra was waiting when Durvasa was humbling himself in front of different people, right? Ultimately, Lord is seeking transformation in the soul. Punishment was not his actual intention. Siksha is punishment, right? That's what you say in Marathi. In Telugu also it's like that. Siksha. Lord is looking for sikshan, not siksha. Sikshan means training, transformation. Right? Teaching good manners. So, Lord's intention is sikshana, not siksha. So, Ambarish Maharaj started praying to Sudarshan Chakra. So, fire, sun, moon, water, earth, you are like that. You are 1,000 spokes, right? You are like the vision of the Lord, your religion, truth, and you are the encouraging statements, you are the maintainer of the universe. So, like that, in various ways, Ambarish Maharaj glorifies Sudarshan Chakra. And finally, he says, if I have our family or myself, if we have done some charity or sacrifices, or if you have executed our occupational duties properly, or if you have done something good, please, in exchange of all our pious credits and good deeds, please give protection to this Durvasa. Right? Ambarish Maharaj was forgiving to such an extent that he said, you know, forgive Durvasa Muni by in exchange of all our credits. Right? We don't want any other benefits of our pious credits, of all our charity or occupational duties that we have done. Take all of them and then protect. Give this one benediction to protect this person. So to protect an offender, Ambarish Maharaj could have thought, "Arey, main to paani liya," and then he created a fire demon to kill me. Right? And then because of his travel, I am fasting for one more year now. Right? So 2 years of fasting ho gaya abhi. Earlier one year was vow. And second year is like punishment for me because of this Durvasa. He was not thinking like that. He was not frustrated at all. So you take everything and then protect us. So Sachi Mata exchanged all her pious credits and credits of our devotional service to protect Nimai from any hurt when he jumps up and down like that. So when there is love and affection towards the Lord, that will reflect in love and affection and compassion on other living entities. So to exhibit that compassion on everyone, the Lord and the living entities connected to the Lord, a Vaishnava can go to any extent. Right? Ambarish Maharaj went to that extent. Recently we were discussing Pratapruddha Maharaj's example. So Gopinath Patnaik, he misappropriated some money. Right? Government money. Then king's son, Pratapruddha's son, he kind of punished him. Right? He was about to punish him. But that was communicated to Lord Chaitanya, and Mahaprabhu was like little unhappy because Gopinath Patnaik and his family was devotees. You know this pastime? Some of you know at least. So I'll tell the gist only. So Pratapruddha Maharaj, what he was saying was, I will relieve Gopinath Patnaik of all debts. Because Mahaprabhu said that I am frustrated here, I am going to Alalnath. People are coming and disturbing me for some political affairs. Is it the business of a sannyasi? I will not be here. I will go to Alalnath, he said. So Pratapruddha Maharaj became so worried. Hare, Mahaprabhu might leave. No, Jagannath Puri, and he might go somewhere else. So tell him that I will relieve Gopinath Patnaik from all the debts. He need not pay anything. I will double his salary and all that. Then Kashi Mishra told him that if you do like this, Mahaprabhu would consider that it is your personal charity to the Mahaprabhu. You are doing a favor on Gopinath Patnaik because of Mahaprabhu only. He may not feel good for it. So then what Pratapruddha said, please don't inform Mahaprabhu about this thing that I have relieved him of all debts. He did not tell all that. Just request him that he should stay at Jagannath Puri. So a Vaishnava does service, although it is not his responsibility to do that, to take it on himself, still he will take it on himself, does that responsibility, although he is not obliged to do so, because it will please the master. That is selflessness, complete selflessness. Generally, if we do some service, we wish to be recognized by everyone. We wish to be appreciated by everyone. Right? We wish that the credit remains with us only. But here, Ambarish Maharaj, you take away all our credits, pious credits. Right? I don't want anything else. I just want the protection of this person. Compassion. Then Durvasa Muni glorifies Ambarish Maharaj. Although I offended you, you prayed for me. So nothing is impossible for devotees. Then Ambarish Maharaj honors Durvasa Muni, and that has a very pleasing ending. So from this episode we can learn how one's ego can take one to any extent. Just because Parikshit Maharaj took little water before the arrival of Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Muni went to such an extent to even kill Ambarish Maharaj. Right? Will you kill someone for taking some water? That too because of a valid reason, parentam is crossing. I am a guest, I am supposed to be given that honor. Right? Because I am not given that honor, I will go to any extent to harm that other person. So he was killing him. That shows the extent of one's ego in this world. Right? And from Ambarish Maharaj's side, we can see what is the extent of his forgiveness and tolerance. Right? Very instructive episode. Very important lessons for practical application in this. Right? So in an overview class, we can't go more deep. So, Vaivasvata Manu had 10 sons, as I discussed. So, first is Ilar Sudyumna. So, that 9.1 discusses that. So, he has 10 more sons. So, out of them, we have discussed so far Sharyati in 9.3, then Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, and Prishadra in 9.2, then Nabhaga's descendants, right? That included Nabhaga and Ambarisha, that is mentioned in the 4th and 5th chapters. So now we are entering the 6th chapter, where Ikshvaku's descendants are discussed, right? Kavi was also discussed earlier, right? So, Ikshvaku's descendants are, okay, now he continues Ambarish Maharaj's descendants slightly, then he discusses the Ikshvaku's descendants. So, Ambarish Maharaj's descendants are these. So he had three sons, Ketuman, Shambhu and Virupa. Virupa's son is Prishadaswa, then Rathiratara. So like this Rathitara, right, his wife could not give birth to sons. So no, actually he could not procreate from his wife. So Angira begot sons in Rathitara's wife. So that is one small thing mentioned. Then we come to Ikshvaku, another son of Vaivasvata Manu. So, like when you sneeze, then some that kind of sound comes, right? That's why Ikshvaku is called Ikshvaku, because he was born out of the sneeze of Vaivasvata Manu. How that birth takes place, don't ask me. Abhishek Guru, please don't ask me that question. But somehow, Ikshvaku took birth from the sneeze of Manu. And Ikshvaku had 100 sons. So, 25 sons were ruling the west. Then 25 sons ruled the east. Three sons, prominently called Vikukshi, Nimi and Dandaka. So they were ruling the middle and remaining people were ruling the other directions, north and south. So now these three are the prominent sons who were mentioned here. So Vikukshi, we will first start with Vikukshi's story. So once there was a sacrifice being conducted, right, by Ikshvaku. Then Vikukshi was told, you go and get some flesh, right, from the forest. So in those days, some flesh also has to be offered in the, yagya. So Vikukshi went and hunted, and then he was coming back, and then on the way he felt a little hungry, and then took a rabbit flesh, right, he himself ate it. And then whatever, he collected a lot of flesh, so whatever was remaining, he gave for the sacrifice. Then Vasishta came to know, this is Maha, this is not Bhoga, this is Prasad. Right? So this was already contaminated because he ate a portion of it. So, because he ate rabbit, he was called Sheshada. Right? Vikukshi's original name was Vikukshi, but he was called Sheshada because he ate a rabbit. So some kind of punishment was given to him. You just get out of this place. Something like that. But when Ikshvaku renounced, again Vikukshi was called and he was enthroned. Right? By taking the teachings of Vasishta, Ikshvaku eventually retired. Right? He went into renounced order of life. Then Vikukshi was enthroned as the king. Then Vikukshi's son is Puranjaya. Right? So Ikshvaku's son is Vikukshi. Vikukshi has another name called Sheshada. Because he ate a rabbit, he is called Sheshada. And his son has three names. Right? So one name is Puranjaya because he conquered the residence of demons. That's why he is called Puranjaya. Another name is Indravaha because the demigods came and took help of this Puranjaya. Right? That you should come and help us in conquering the demons. Then he killed the demons, he conquered the demons. That's why he is called Puranjaya. And he made a condition. If I have to fight with the demons, I need a vehicle. Okay, I need a horse, I need a bull, carrier, I need a carrier. And you have to become that carrier. So Indra, you become my carrier. So Indra fell, I have to carry him, I am the king. Even if he fights and wins, he has to give the kingdom to me. How can I become like that? But demigod said, relax, you should be humble. Be humble and then become his carrier, then only you will get the kingdom. Then Indra became a bull. And because he sat on the hump of the bull, he is called Kakustha. And because Indra became the carrier, bull carrier of this person, he is called Indravaha. Indravaha, Kakustha and Puranjaya. These are the three. All three are connected to one incident only. So making the king of demigods Indra as a bull, he sat on the hump of the bull and conquered the demons. That's why he got three names. Next, Puranjaya's lineage was mentioned. So Puranjaya's son is Anena, then Prithu. This Prithu is different. So all these are his descendants. So Prithu, then Vishwagandhi, Chandra, Yavanashva, then Sravasa. So all these are there. Then Bhadrasva's son is Kolayashva. So he killed a named, demon named Dundhu. That's why he is called Dundumara. Some name is mentioned. So he killed Dundhu with his 21,000 sons. Then he has three sons. Their names were Dhridhashva, Kapilashva and Bhadrasva. Right? So he had 21,000 sons. Out of them, 21,000 minus 3 died. So remaining 3 are his sons. They procreated and took the dynasty further. So then Kovalayasva. So out of one of these three sons, the father, Kovalayasva, who fought with Dundhu. So his one son is Dhridhashva. Then his son is Haryasva, then Nikumbha. So like that the dynasty goes. And Yavanashva, finally, the final person in the dynasty. So he did not have sons. I don't have sons, what will I do in the kingdom? I'll go ahead. He went to the forest with his 100 wives. He had 100 wives, still he did not have son. So in the forest, some sages met him and then they did some yajna to satisfy Indra for a son for Yavanashva. So eventually he got a son. And that son's name is Mandhata. Right? So Mandhata took birth and the father, Yavanashva, he attained perfection. He retired and he attained perfection. Then there was some small story also, interesting story about how Mandhata took birth. It was some prasad. Right? Correct. Correct. He drank the sanctified water in the yajna. And he himself gave birth, right? To Mandhata. So he was born from father, not mother. Like that. So Mandhata is there. Now he will discuss about Mandhata's dynasty. So before discussing about the sons of Mandhata, he discusses about the son-in-law of Mandhata, who is Saubhari Muni. So Saubhari Muni, he offended, you know the full background, he offended the Garuda, because Garuda was coming and taking some fish, and then Saubhari became a self-appointed protector of all the fish in that lake, and then he cursed Garuda, hey, you cannot come here, you cannot come and take this fish. And while he was engaged in austerities within water, in Yamuna, in Vrindavan, so he was sitting there and doing his tapasya, and he saw two fishes mating. Then he got affected. He developed so many material desires. Offense leads to material desires. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita also it is mentioned. If you are getting material desires, we need to understand. We must have offended some Vaishnav. It's very difficult. So, Ramachandrapuri, he offended his spiritual master. Who is that? Madhavendrapuri in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, he developed material desires. He became so critical about other Vaishnavas. He became so critical about Mahaprabhu also, Supreme Lord also. So if one offends a Vaishnava, So he can commit, he will commit more offenses, he will develop material desires, and he will develop impersonalistic tendencies. Right? Offending or criticizing another Vaishnava is an impersonalistic tendency, Mayavadic tendency, like that. So he was having that, and eventually he got affected, he came out. He came out of Yamuna and then went to Mandhata. Mandhata had 50 daughters. So he asked, I want to marry your daughters. Right, marry your daughters. Then seeing the position of Saubhari Muni, Mandhata said, "Are, how can I give my daughters to this sage? Right? He looks so old and then he doesn't look so beautiful or young or whatever." Then, but he did not say no. How can he say no to the sages? So he said, "You can go to my daughters. If they like you, you can marry." Right? So Saubhari Muni went towards the quarter. The messenger was taking Saubhari Muni towards the quarters of the 50 daughters of Mandhata. Then, on the way, Saubhari Muni transformed himself into a cupid. Cupid means cupid-like, young and beautiful personality. Then all the 50 daughters came and saw Saubhari Muni. My God, so handsome. Right? They started fighting amongst themselves. Right? So I will be the wife of this person. I will be the wife of this person. I will be the wife of this person. There's a quarrel amongst the girls only. Right? Who will become the wife of this person? Then the king felt, what's happening? I thought if I send this sage directly to my daughters, they will not be inclined to marry him, and then this sage will get his message instead of me saying no. He was thinking like that. But when the 50 daughters of Mandhata, all of them were inclined to marry this Saubhari, then he understood, oh my God, he must be a really powerful personality. He saw him very handsome also. Then eventually, Mandhata married all the 50,000 daughters. 50 daughters, not 50,000. And then from each of them, he begot some 10 sons, right? 100 sons. 100 into 50 became 5,000. So 5,000 sons. Then he started lamenting. I was alone doing some tapasya. Then once you get into something, right? For example, you are traveling somewhere. You wanted to explore this road somewhere. So you are going towards this destination. You take a turn and then see what's happening there. Then you go a little ahead, like this. You go up to there. I was traveling like this. Where did I reach? Some people, then there is a bewilderment. Then he was thinking, I was alone in the waters of Yamuna doing my austerities. Later I became 50 by marrying 50 ladies. Then I became 5,000 by begotting 100 sons from each of them. Right? So one person became 5,000. Right? I have a big family now. And seeing this Saubhari's opulence, and to the extent to which he was enjoying his senses with his 50 daughters, Mandhata became worried. Hey, I am such a great king and he is a sage. How much sense gratification he is doing. He is enjoying life. He is living life king size. Right? Living life more than king size. I am king. Right? He is enjoying senses more than me. So he was little bewildered to see the opulence and the extent of sense gratification, indriyotsava, that Saubhari was doing. So after enjoying senses for a long time, prolonged time, body gets exhausted, mind also gets exhausted. Is it not? So, for example, somebody is feeding you gulab jamun. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20. Right? Tongue will not accept. Stomach will not accept anymore. Although the mind may want to eat. We have already eaten 10, but mind wants to eat one more. Like that. Right? But your stomach is not taking, tongue is not taking, whatever. So, mind has to control itself. But after prolonged sense gratification, not only the body, mind also gets exhausted. Right? Then the feelings of renunciation and detachment will develop in the person. Of course, this is not the right way of developing detachment by enjoying so much sense gratification. In the seventh canto, it is mentioned that if you pour ghee on the fire, spoon by spoon, the fire will only increase, it will not come down. Right. Similarly, if you constantly feed sense objects to the sense organs, senses, the sense gratification desires will only increase. The fire of sense gratification will only increase, it will not decrease. Right? But there is another way. You take, like, you know, 10 liters of ghee and then put it on the fire, the fire will be diminished. Right? That's another way. Means you do so much of sense gratification, you will be disgusted with sense gratification and then you will be detached from sense gratification. But that is not a recommended way of coming out of sense gratification. That's not a recommendation. That is meant for such low people. For example, somebody is smoking cigarette, 10 cigarettes in a day, like that. You tell him, Babu, you stay in Prabhu, you can't say, call him Prabhu. Oh, you stay in this room. There are 10,000 cigarettes in this room. Right? You smoke to your heart's content. Right? He would sit and smoke. So, after 24 hours, he'll come out of this room. I have given up smoking. He will say like that. But that is not a recommended way of controlling him from sense gratification. You give him knowledge. Right? You give him a better taste. So, the recommended way of controlling senses is giving the senses a better sense object. Giving the ears a better subject matter to hear. Giving the eyes a better object to see. Giving the tongue a better object to taste. Then the senses will come under control. Like that. If somebody is eating so much of hotel food, then you give him prasad, then his tongue will be controlled. Like that. So, he became so disgusted with sense gratification. So, he was lamenting. Right? And eventually he got into renunciation. So he felt that I lost all the results of my austerities. Everyone should learn from my fall down. So the mistakes of great personalities also will teach us so many lessons. Sobari is definitely a great personality. Otherwise, how can he do such austerities within the water? Right? But because he had this offensive mentality, he fell down from his position. So a lesson from his character is that one should not offend great personalities. So, then he will lose all the results of austerities. Everyone should learn from my fall down, he says like that. So, a person desiring liberation must give up association of men interested in sex life. Means, womanizers he should not associate with. And one should not employ his senses externally and stay in a secluded place. For us, the secluded place means being in the association of devotees. That is seclusion for us. So, then one has to fix mind on the Lord. Like that. I was alone, I was 50. I became 50 and then I became 5,000. We discussed this. Then he went into Vanaprastha. And seeing the husband, all the wives also became detached. And then they also took to detachment. Wives also followed him. So, that is the story of Saubhari Muni. Next is other descendants of Mandhata. We discussed about the son-in-law of Mandhata. Now we'll discuss about the sons of Mandhata. So, one of the descendants of Mandhata is Purukutsa. Right? So this Purukutsa, he married, what is her name? He goes to the Nagalok and Narmada. Right? Who marries whom? Narmada marries Purukutsa and then he goes to the lower planets and then fights with someone. Only that much story is mentioned. But the falastuti of that story is, if someone hears this story, he will be devoid of the fear of snakes. So in our G, we go down. In initial days, 2010, right? So many snakes were coming. So go down is not this. Now we have Gokulananda temple, right? So somewhere around that area, there was a go down. Right, cement go down. Somewhere near Edmund. No, not even Edmund. Towards this side. Edmund is a different space. Gokulanand. Somewhere near Gokulanand and Radharaman, that area. There was a... Not that. There is another go down. That's a different shed. Near the road. That's the main... Correct, near the road. So, there were so many snakes coming here and there. Every day, some brahmacharis would go and sleep there. So, there we had kept this sunboard we printed and then kept displayed it there. Whoever reads the story of Purukutsa will not be having fear of snakes. We kept that from Bhagavatam Phalastuti. Okay. So, yeah, next is Harishchandra's story. So, Harishchandra was coming in the line of Ikshvaku. So, he did not have a son. Then, he performed a sacrifice for Varuna. Then he said, if you give me a son, I will do a sacrifice with the son. I mean, I don't know why he had that kind of proposal. You give me a son, I will do sacrifice with that son only. He says like that. But after he gave the son, then Harishchandra developed affection for the son and he was not inclined to perform sacrifice. He says, I will do after few days, after few days. Like that, there are different stages of postponement of the sacrifice. After the jantu develops, after the jiva develops teeth, he is fit to be sacrificed. After some training, he has to be sacrificed, something like that. So, as he was postponing, Varuna was waiting. And Rohita comes to know that my father is about to sacrifice me. Right? I am obliged to be sacrificed by my father to satisfy Varuna. Rohita comes to know it. Then Rohita goes from the house. He just runs away. Then Harishchandra develops a disease. Abdomen becomes so big. What was the name of the disease? Dropsy. So he became little fat and some disease was there. So Rohita, after 1 year of traveling and escaping from the kingdom, he came to know that Harishchandra was attacked by dropsy. So he wanted to come back. But Indra comes in the form of a old Brahmana and then says, no, don't go. He tells him something and then diverts him. So like that 6 years, whenever Rohita wanted to come to Harishchandra's place, Indra diverted him, right, by saying something. So then Rohita was there only. So finally Rohita goes and purchases one slave called Sunashepa and then gives that as a sacrifice, brings him to Harishchandra. You can sacrifice him instead of me, like that. But the sacrifice, ultimately, that Sunashepa goes as a son to Vishwamitra. Right? Vishwamitra already had so many sons, 100 sons. He becomes 101st son of Harishchandra, of Vishwamitra. So then Varuna was satisfied and then Harishchandra was relieved of the dropsy also. And because of Harishchandra only, there was some dispute between Vasishta and Harishchandra. Right? Vasishta and Vishwamitra. Vasishta and Vishwamitra, they became like birds and then started fighting with each other. Right? Because of some misunderstanding. And Harishchandra was supposed to pay some donation to Vishwamitra, which is like exuberant. Which was like robbing him of all the opulences only. So that story was also mentioned. Then we have another story. In the line we have Sagara. So Sagara birth and activities were discussed. And Sagara was doing a sacrifice. And the horse was stolen by Indra. He just takes that horse and then parks the horse at Kapila's ashram at Ganga Sagar. Right? And then he disappears. And Sagara's sons, they were 60,000 in number. So they were searching everywhere and then they started digging the earth. Somehow they managed to reach Kapila's ashram and then they felt that, oh, here is the horse. Right? This Kapila must have stolen the horse. Catch him, attack him, kill him. Something like that. They started coming towards Kapiladev. So many people think that because of Kapila's anger, all these people were burned to ashes. But it was not so. Because of their offensive mentality, offensive thoughts towards Kapiladev, that mentality itself became like a fire and burnt all the 60,000 sons of Sagara. So they became like ashes at the ashram of Kapila. So that is about Sagara's sons, Kapila. So we'll come back to this story again. So Sagara has another son called Asamanjasa. So Asamanjasa was actually a very great exalted personality. qualified for liberation in his previous birth only, but for some reason he again had to take a birth as the son of Sagara. But this Asamanjasa, he, since childhood only, he was behaving very weirdly. He just takes some children and then throws them into the water, ocean, and then kills them. So he does all kinds of mischief. So, and he does it purposefully, because he wants to be relieved of all these social obligations. So just like Jadabharat was there, although he was so exalted, he was behaving as if he was like a dumb and madman, so that people do not disturb him. So Asamanjasa was also behaving very weirdly. Then Sagara became very disgusted and then banished Asamanjasa. You cannot stay in my kingdom, get out. So then, before leaving the kingdom, Asamanjasa brought all those children whom he threw in the ocean or river, whatever, he brought them back to life. And then he left. Then everyone was astonished. Oh, he was doing everything intentionally. He was a very great personality. Right? Oh, we didn't know, something like that. They were a little embarrassed. Even the king also, Sagara also. So that's how Asamanjasa's story happened. Then Sagara had another son called Anshuman. So he went in search of the horse. Because Sagara wanted to complete the sacrifice, but the horse was not there. And the sons who went to search for the horse, they were also not there. Then again, more and more people were going. So Anshuman went. So he finally found Kapiladev and then offered such beautiful prayers. Even Brahma cannot understand you. How can my brothers understand you? Anshuman was next generation or in the same way? Next generation, right? Son of Asamanjasa, correct. So how can my uncles understand you? So even Brahma cannot understand you. Jiva sees modes and not you. Sage is freed from modes, only can see you. My uncles were not freed from modes, how can they see you? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives these extra comments. So like that he offers so many prayers. Then Kapildev says, please take this horse. Right? Your uncles will be delivered by Ganga. So you should do something to get Ganga and then deliver your uncles. So Ganges delivers Sagara's sons. That is the next chapter. So Anshuman, although he found out the solution for the problem, he could not solve the problem. So he could not bring the Ganga down. Then Dilipa, he also could not bring the Ganga down. Then Bhagiratha, his son, he went and did austerities and then prayed to Ganga, and Ganga agreed to come down, but she had some concerns. He said, if I come down, people will dump their sins in me. Then who will bear my force? When I come, I come with such great force that I can pierce this planet and then go to Patal Loka also. Right? Someone has to bear that force. Right? Then the answers to these questions were, number one, Shiva will bear the force. Right? Shiva will help me. Then devotees will take bath in you and you will be purified of the sins that are dumped by sinful people who take bath in you. Like that. So Shiva agreed, because Bhagiratha prayed to Lord Shiva, and then Shiva agreed, and then Ganga came down. So Ganga followed Bhagiratha and then delivered Sagara's sons. Okay? That's how Sagara's episode ended. So in that episode only, there is one king named, in that dynasty, there was one king named Saudasa. He is also called Mitrasaha and Kalmashapada. Can you see me? I want to lean down for some. So Saudasa, he is also an exalted king. And Vasishta is like a Kulguru, right? Rajguru or whatever, of this dynasty. So once Saudasa asked, Saudasa invited Vasishta for a meal, right? Actually Saudasa went and killed a Rakshasa, and his brother, he became very envious of Saudasa, and he became envious, and then he disguised himself as a cook and joined the kitchen of
Saudasa, and he cooked some human flesh, I think. Human flesh only? Human flesh. When Saudasa invited Vasishtha for dinner or lunch, whatever. So he cooked, and then without knowing that, whatever the cook has cooked, Saudasa was serving Vasishtha. And Vasishtha said, "Arey, how can you feed flesh to me? It's an offense, right? I curse you." So like that, he cursed. "You cannot have children." Is that the curse? What was that? Ah, you become a demon. Correct, correct. I'm sorry. You become a demon. That was the curse given to Saudasa. Then Saudasa, he became angry. "Arey, I didn't know. Right, I didn't know, so that's why I became angry, and then that's why I was serving human flesh." And then he also took water to curse this Vasishtha. But his wife told, "Hari, you should not curse. He is Brahmana, he is a guru, you should not curse." Then that water he just threw on his own, he just kept it down, and then it went on his feet only, legs only. That's why he is called Kalmashapada also. Right? His name is Saudasa. He is called Mitrasaha because he was advised by his wife. He was called Kalmashapada because that water that he took to curse Vasishtha, they fell on his feet, and then that created some spots on his feet. So that's why he is called Kalmashapada. So like that. But because Vasishtha cursed Saudasa for a mistake which was committed unknowingly, Vasishtha, as an atonement, he went for pilgrimage. Right? Did he go for pilgrimage? Huh? Austerities. He went to do some austerities for 12 years. Then this Saudasa became a demon. Right? A man-eating demon. So one day, one Brahmana and one Brahmani, they were having union. Right? So Saudasa, because he developed the mentality of a human eater, so he went to that Brahman and Brahmani, and then he wanted to devour that Brahmana. And the Brahmani spoke so many things in a quite logical way and nice way. She said, I wish to be impregnated by my husband. This is not the right time. You are a king, right? Because of curse only you are behaving like a man eater. You are supposed to protect the Brahmana. So like that, in so many ways she pleads. But because of the curse, because of the unfortunate destiny that was there on Saudasa, so he just ate that Brahmana. Killed and ate that Brahmana. And then Brahmani cursed. "Because when my husband was impregnating me, you caused an interruption in our union. Whenever you go and unite with your wife, you will be killed. Right? You will die when you attempt to unite with your wife. Because you killed my husband when he was attempting to unite with me." So like that. So Vasishtha went to do austerities, and then after 12 years he became like a son. He became like a king. He gave up the mentality of a man-eater, and then he came back to become a king. Then one day he was about to unite with his wife. Then this wife seems to be very intelligent lady, wife of Saudasa. Earlier when he was about to curse Vasishtha, she advised, "No, you should not curse." And now when he was about to unite with the wife, she reminded, "One Brahmani cursed you. You cannot unite with me." Like that. So that story happened. So then in the dynasty, another king called Khatvanga comes. So Khatvanga was informed that he had only one moment, means one muhurta. One muhurta only was left to live, right? So then he had a very great contemplation. So only Supreme Personality of Godhead is substantial, right? I have no interest in the benedictions of the demigods. Right, I will focus on the Supreme Lord only. This world is like Gandharvapura, right? Some kind of city, magical city in the clouds, something like that. I will focus. Then he attained perfection. So After this, in that line, in the Khatvangas line, we have Lord Ramachandra, and his dynasty. Should we discuss those things? It's quite straightforward, right? So very briefly, Sukadeva Goswami mentions entire Ramayana. So I had another detailed PPT on Ramayana, which I made a few years back. But it's there, but we can skip that. Or shall we go through that also? Huh?
Okay, if you say so. You copied that?
Someone copied that? Okay. So demigods approach Brahma for because demons were torturing. Okay, so the Lord instructs all the demigods, you should go and take birth as monkeys, right? You go and take birth as monkeys, and I will descend as Lord Ram, right? So all the demigods became vanaraviras, right? So Vasishta was doing a sacrifice, Putra Kameshti, and the Yajna Purusha came and then gave the Amrita, right? That whatever, sweet rice, right? So that sweet rice was divided into four parts, and Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, four of them were born. So Sukadeva Goswami says that it has already been discussed, Ramayana, several times, you must have heard many times, so I will discuss very briefly, like that he says. So we'll also discuss very briefly. So they were growing, then where are we? Then Vasishta trains them in so many martial things, and Valmiki wrote this Ramayana, and eventually because of Kaikeyi and Manthara, Lord Ram, Kaikeyi goes and asks for some benedictions from Dasharatha Maharaj. And then as a part of those benedictions, Lord Ram was sent to Vanavas. Then Lakshman and Sita were accompanying Lord Ram. And Bharat was misunderstood because he was misunderstood as the cause of Lord Ram's exile, right? And Dasharatha Maharaj left his body because of separation from Lord Ram. Then this was a previous incident, Tataka killing and all that. Alahahalya. So all this he kind of summarizes. Parshuram. My God, those things came much before. He goes to Vanavas. Then Dasharatha Maharaj gives up his body. Then in the Vanavas he meets Guha also, and he meets so many sages like Agastya and others. Then Arundhati. Anusuya, Atri. They meet them also. Then Kabanda was killed. Kabanda was like this. He had a big mouth in his belly, and there is only one eye. So like that. So Kabanda was killed. There are different ways in which this Kabanda is depicted in different, by different people. Then Surpanaka became very lusty towards Lord Ram, and she came in front of Lord Ram. Then Lakshman just cut her nose and ears, and then Surpanaka went and complained to our Ravana. So Ravana came. So these are all Surpanaka episodes only. So before they're complaining to Ravana, so Surpanaka sends Khara and Dushan and 14,000 soldiers. So Lord Ram kills all those 14,000 soldiers single-handedly within a very less time, 45 minutes to 1 hour. Right? Then Surpanaka goes and tells this Ravana, and Ravana goes to Maricha. So Maricha says, no, it's not very safe for you, because Lord Ram is so powerful. I have personally witnessed the strength of Lord Ram, that he killed Subahu and then he threw me some 8,000 yojanas into the water. So it's not good for you. Then Ravana says, either you be killed by me or by Lord Ram. Which one you prefer? Then he says, I will prefer to be killed by Lord Ram only. Then he takes the form of a
deer, and then Sita was allured by that golden deer and she wanted that deer. Then Lord Ram goes to get that deer. Then this Ravana comes in the form of a sadhu and then begs for some food from Sita Devi, and then eventually he kidnaps Sita Devi and then he kills Jatayu. Right? Jatayu was on the verge of death and Lord Ram was in separation, and then on the way he meets Jatayu. Right? And then he performs funeral rites of Jatayu. Jatayu was almost like the father of Ram, because Ram performed the funeral rites of Jatayu, like that. So in search of Sita, they go further and they meet Sabari, and they move ahead, because Sabari also suggests you should go and meet Sugriva and he will help you in finding your wife. Then Hanumanji was sent by Sugriva to identify, oh, this Ram and Lakshman are coming. And some two young princes in the form of, you know, Vanavasis, they are coming here. So you should go and find out who are they. I am suspecting that they must be sent by Vali. So they come. Hanumanji comes in the form of Brahmana and then says, who are you, and all, he inquires. Then Hanumanji comes to know that Lord Ram and Lakshman have come, and Lord Ram is the eternal master. Then there was a friendship made between Sugriva and Hanuman, and eventually Lord Ram kills Vali and then helps Sugriva get back his wife and his kingdom. Then he sends Hanumanji in search of Sita, and Hanumanji goes and then gets gives the ring to Sita Devi and gets her Chodamani and then gives it to Ram, and then Ram goes and with his full Vanar Sena he goes to attack Lanka, and on the shore of ocean Lord Ram wanted the ocean to help. The ocean god comes and says, first he doesn't respond. Lord Ram became angry. Then the ocean god comes and says that Hanuman, this fellow Ravana, is like the urine of his father. So like that, all that description was a little more elaborate there. Right? So finally, you can walk on my waters also. Right? But still, I want you to build a bridge on my waters, so that people will glorify you in future. That was the main thing he says. So I want to see that you are glorified for making this bridge on water with stones by the future generations. That's why I want you to build this bridge. Otherwise, without bridge also you can cross. Right? So Prabhupada says in those purports that the Lord can make so many heavy universes float in the space. Right, for him to make a stone float on the water is not a big deal. It's not a very big thing. But it's wonderful in this material world, and devotees take pleasure in glorifying the Lord in like that. That's why Lord Ram had made this bridge. Okay. So this is all the Varadhi, Setu Bandhan. Right? Hanumanji goes to Govardhan also. So Govardhan, Hanumanji lifts Govardhan to bring it to Lord Ram for making the bridge, and then someone gives a signal to him. Bridge is already constructed, we don't need any more rocks. Then Hanumanji just drops the Govardhan. So Govardhan breaks into small boulders. That's why Govardhan is like so many boulders, right? It's not like one big mountain. So like that. Then Lord Ram gives a benediction to Govardhan. Don't worry, this now you could not offer any service to me, but in my next incarnation, when I come as Krishna, I will take so much service from you. He will be glorified as Haridasa Varya. Like that. It's not there in Bhagavatam. Huh? It's not there in Bhagavatam. It's in some other references. You want only Bhagavatam or what? In our overview class? Yeah. So we keep discussing all these stories in our evening discussions in Vrindavan. So Vibhishan comes and surrenders. So Vibhishan gives a good advice to Ravana, and Ravana says, get lost, you can't stay in my kingdom. Then Vibhishan comes and surrenders to Lord Ram. Then eventually fight happens. Then Kumbhakarna was sent in the fight and then he was killed. Then to protect Lakshmana, Hanuman brings a big Sanjeevani. He gets the whole mountain where Sanjeevani, this is there, herb is there. Then
Lakshman kills Indrajit, right? And there was a big fight between Lord Ram and Ravana. So Lord Ram was given a chariot by Matali, Indra, right? Like that the fight happens, and eventually Ravana was killed. Then Sita Devi's Agni Pariksha and all this happened. So this is about Ramayana in brief. All Bharat Milan and all that. So some extra things that are there in Bhagavatam, which we have not read earlier, were that how Lord Ram, Parikshit Maharaj asks this question, how did Lord Ram conduct his kingdom, right? How was he behaving with his brothers? So that was one of his questions. Then Lord Ram stayed in the kingdom, giving his personal association to all the citizens, because they were like Kanishtadhikaris. Then Lord Ram had sent his brothers to rule in different places, to conquer in different places, to find the managerial affairs, how they are going in different places. So they were not like Kanishtas. They go out for service. So Lord Ram wants his pure devotees to not just to stay around him to take his personal association, but to stay away from him also if needed, and then do some service. So all this Prabhupada says, right? And Lord Ram's qualities are mentioned, and Lord Mother Sita Devi's qualities are also mentioned. Premna Nivritya Silena Prashraya Vanata Sati, all these are mentioned. So that is one part. Now we reach till this point, right? Then Lord Ram's son Kusha, his dynasty is mentioned. Then Nimi's dynasty is mentioned. So story of Nimi Maharaj is briefly given, because he was doing a sacrifice and Vasishta was appointed as the priest. But Vasishta said, oh, I can accept your priesthood, but I have already agreed for one program, another sacrifice being done by some other people, demigods. So I will go and do that, and then I will come back and do your sacrifice. But Nimi Maharaj said, why to unnecessarily wait? Right? Time is going. So let me employ some other priest and do the needful. Then, road roller. Then Vasishta came back, and then he became disappointed. How can you do the sacrifice without me? Let it go. Let me not. Then Nimi Maharaj conducted the sacrifice. Vasishta was upset. So Vasishta cursed Nimi that his material body should fall off. Then Nimi was in spiritual body, so he is not in material body anymore. And all the demigods wanted to offer him a material body also. He did not want to accept the gross body. He was in his spiritual body only. But Nimi Maharaj also cursed Vasishta, right? Your body also should fall. But later Vasishta was again, because one damsel was there, and Mitra and Varuna, they became lusty seeing that damsel. The name is also mentioned, Urvasi, right? So their semen was stored in a pot, and then this Vasishta was born again, like that. So Nimi Maharaj and his pure devotional service was also glorified. So that is about the Sun dynasty. Now we'll have description about the Moon dynasty. We'll do it after a short break. So we'll begin the Moon dynasty description. So Soma begets Buddha through Tara. That was the first thing. So Moon dynasty begins like this: from the Lord Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Brahma comes, then his son is Atri, then his son is Soma. So Soma kidnaps Tara. Tara was the wife of Brihaspati. So he kidnaps Tara because he was attracted, and there was a big fight between the demigods and the demons, right? So then Brahma comes and chastises Soma. So
like how can you just steal the wife of Brihaspati, the guru of Devas? So you should return her back, like that he says. So you can understand many of these incidents. These anarthas, lust, envy, greed, pride, so all these are there throughout the material world. Whether in this earthly planet or lower planets or upper planets, wherever, they are there. So different people manifest these qualities to different extents. Right? So it is like if they can, point is, if they are doing it, why can't we do it? That is not the right lesson we take. If they are also affected by it, so how careful I should be? That's the lesson we need to take, practicing sadhakas. We need to try to safeguard ourselves from all these anarthas by seeing Soma, like he's the main Mula Purusha of the Soma dynasty in which Krishna came, right? So still there were so many mistakes there. So Soma kidnaps Tara. So Tara becomes pregnant because of this Soma only. So then there was some argumentation also between Tara and also Brahmaji. Brihaspati asked, who is the father of this child? Who is the father of the child? Like that. So in seclusion, Tara reveals to Brahma that he is the son of Soma. Like that. So Soma's son was Buddha. And this Buddha marries Ila. Who was Ila? Ila was the daughter of Vaivasvata Manu. Right? So he is Sudyumna also in the male form. So their son is Pururava. So that Pururava, he was enchanted by Urvasi once. Right? He wanted Urvasi to marry. So Urvasi said, I have some conditions for marriage. I have two lambs, right? And I can eat only ghee preparations. You should always protect my two lambs and I will eat only ghee preparations. Prabhupada writes that the ghee is so important, ghee is nice. So demigod people, they eat only ghee preparations, not oil, all that he says. So I can never see you naked. So these are the three conditions. If you agree to these three conditions, then I will associate with you, like that. So he said, fine. I can be the best protector of your lambs, no problem. Like that. So like that, they were associating with each other for some time. And Indra was feeling separation from Urvasi. Where is my Urvasi? So he was thinking like that. So he sent some Gandharvas. Do something and then get Urvasi back. Right? What is heaven without Urvasi? He was thinking. So Indra sent some Gandharvas. So Gandharvas went. And in the night, they have stolen these two lambs. Then at that time, Pururava was naked. Then Urvasi said, "Arey, I have married a female or eunuch, something like that. She speaks such harsh words and says, you should go and get my lambs immediately." Urvasi rebukes. Then without realizing that he was naked, Pururava goes out, right, to search for the lambs. Then Urvasi sees him naked. "Arey, my condition is that I can never see you naked. So you are appearing naked in front of me. I am leaving you." So she leaves. So then Pururava was in great separation. So one time Urvasi meets Pururava and then he says, "What mistake I have done, please associate with me again." Like that, Pururava begs Urvasi. Then Urvasi speaks the nature of a woman. "This is the nature of a polluted woman. We cannot insensitively apply this or describe this in an assembly where we are not meant to discuss all these things, right? So there are so many things in the Bhagavatam, right? But we need to sensitively describe some matters, right? So Urvasi speaks about the nature of a polluted woman, right? At Kurukshetra, right? They have fox heart, they are very merciless, they are very cunning, they are intolerable, they become selfish killers of their own husbands or brothers or fathers or whatever. They always seek new contacts, right? So still he was so pleading that then Urvasi agrees that, okay, I'll come for one night in 1 year, like that. Annually, only once I can associate with you. So she gives that benediction to Pururava. So basically when we speak about the nature of woman, we cannot apply this to every woman, in the sense that basically the psychophysical makeup of a woman is like that. their bodies are delicate and they are more emotional than rational, right? They get into emotional feelings more quickly than seeing things in a very logical and rational way, right? Men are more rational, like that. So considering all this, women are not allowed to administer or lead like that. So they are having their roles and men are having their roles like that. So one should have respect for other Vaishnavis, right? But one should not apply this to each and every woman. Like this is an important thing. Sometimes prematurely some people may just do women bashing publicly also. That's like very, that's not good, right? So then this Pururava, he becomes so disgusted. Only 1 year he was getting association, so he started worshipping Gandharvas, right, for the association of Urvasi. So Gandharvas appear and then give him Agnisthali. Agnisthali means another lady. Then Pururava realizes that, arey, they have cheated me, they have given me some Agnisthali, some other lady, I wanted Urvasi. So someone's mind is captivated by like one sense object, right? So he wants that only. Right? When someone becomes so lusty about one woman, he wants that woman only at any cost. Right? You just bring Sarvanga Sundaris, so many, but still he's not attracted. Right? He just first love, something like that. So he just wants Urvasi only. So he just continuously meditates on Urvasi and he does a sacrifice. Right, eventually he goes to Gandharva Loka and associates with Urvasi there. But this is not the conclusion of Pururava's episode. How can a Bhagavatam story end like this? It seems that Pururava was hankering so much for Urvasi and then finally he got Urvasi. That cannot be the conclusion of Bhagavatam. If you read the 11th canto, there is Uddhava Gita. There one chapter called Aila Gita comes. Aila Gita means the son of Ila. Pururava is the son of Ila, right? He is called Aila. So after engaging in sense gratification with Urvasi for a long time in the upper planets also, Pururava became so disgusted and then he speaks out his meditation, his realizations. So that is like ultimate conclusion of this episode that you will listen in 11th canto. After maybe 5-6 months, you will listen that. So that is about Pururava's episode. Then, moving ahead, Pururava and Urvasi, they gave birth to 6 sons. So one son is Vijaya. His son is Bhima, right? And then Gadhi. Then Gadhi's son is daughter is Satyavati. So now this, not Gadhi's daughter, Bhima's daughter is Satyavati. Gadhi's daughter. Gadhi's daughter is Satyavati. No. What exactly was that? Can someone see that and confirm? Gadhi is the husband of Satyavati. His daughter is Satyavati. Okay. So who is that Rishi who wants to... Ruchika. That was the mistake here. So Gadhi's daughter is Satyavati and then Ruchika, once he comes and wants Gadhi's daughter in marriage. Right? So then Gadhi very intelligently says, you get me 1,000 horses with a black ear, right, from Varuna. Then I will give my daughter in marriage. So they don't directly say no. They put some conditions. So he gets. Then he understands, oh, Ruchika is so powerful. So then he gives Satyavati in marriage to Ruchika. So then once Ruchika performs some puja and then the oblations he gives to Gadhi, to Satyavati and his mother also. Right? So Satyavati and his mother, her mother, they exchange the oblations, exchange the prasad of that sacrifice. Then Gadhi, this Satyavati, was supposed, she married a Brahmana, she was supposed to get a Brahminical son. And Satyavati's mother, which is Gadhi's wife, so she was supposed to get a Kshatriya son. But because the oblations were exchanged, So their sons would be of different mentalities, right? Brahmana son will have Kshatriya mentality, Kshatriya son will have Brahmana mentality. So Gandhi's son became Vishwamitra, right? So he had a, although he was a Kshatriya, eventually he became a Brahmana. Then Satyavati's son was supposed to be a Kshatriya at that point, but Satyavati became so repentant that without her husband's knowledge, against her husband's desire, she exchanged the oblations. She should become repentant. Then Ruchika said, your son will not be a Kshatriya. He will not have Kshatriya mentality. Your grandson will have Kshatriya mentality. Your son will be Brahmanical. So the son is Jamadagni. He marries Renuka. So Satyavati's son is Jamadagni. Jamadagni marries Renuka. And their son is Parashurama, who developed Kshatriya mentality and who killed Kshatriyas for 21 times. So there is a king called Kartaviryarjuna. He was so powerful. He had some 1,000 arms. So with his so many arms, he blocked the flow of the river Narmada also. He was more powerful than Ravana also. He arrested Ravana. So once he stole the Kamadhenu cow of Jamadagni. So Jamadagni was the son of Satyavati and Ruchika. Right? He stole the horse. He stole the Kamadhenu cow. Then Parshuram, who was the son of Jamadagni, he went and killed Kartaviryarjuna. Right? Then Jamadagni instructs Parshuram that, how can you kill a... Although he offended us, but that doesn't mean you should kill a king. Right? King is so powerful. So then he instructs him on forgiveness. Right? So Brahmanas are worshipped for their glorious quality of forgiveness. So you are not forgiving. Right? You are killing the king. So for you to relieve of this offense towards the king, you should go for pilgrimage for 1 year. Like that. So Parashuram goes for pilgrimage. Then, because Kartaviryarjuna was killed by Parashuram, he had so many sons. So Kartaviryarjuna's sons will come to the ashram of Jamadagni and they kill Jamadagni. Your son killed our father, we will kill you now. Like that. So they killed Parashuram's father. So there is another important incident in relation to Parashuram. So after Parashuram's father was killed, so Parashuram kills all the sons of Kartaviryarjuna and then annihilates Kshatriyas and eventually he restores the life of Jamadagni also. So once what happened was Jamadagni's wife, Renuka, right, she saw some Gandharva, having some pastimes with some ladies. So she was momentarily got attracted there. Then this Jamadagni felt that it is an offense and then he ordered Parashuram. He ordered his sons to kill mother. So sons said, we cannot kill. How can we kill our mother? Then Jamadagni told Parashuram, so your brothers violated my order. Your mother has become unchaste. You kill all of them. Then Parashuram kills all of them. Then later, then Jamadagni was so pleased. Oh, you have executed father's order. I am very pleased with you. What benediction do you want? Then Parashuram says, I want the life of my mother and brothers to come back. And also, that they should forget that I have killed them. That's an important condition. So, that episode was also mentioned there. So, this we have already discussed. So, Gandhi's daughter was Satyavati and her son was Jamadagni. Then Jamadagni's son was Parashuram. That line we have discussed. So, Gandhi had another son also, Vishwamitra. So, Vishwamitra is the son born because of Ruchika's prasad. Right? So Vishwamitra had 101 sons. So one is Sunashepa. Sunashepa is this son he got from Harishchandra sacrifice. You remember? So Pururava and Urvasi had 6 sons. So one son's line we have discussed. Vijaya's line. Vijaya, then Bhima, Gandhi, Satyavati, that line we have discussed. Now there is another son called Ayu. So Ayu had 5 sons. Nahusha, then Raji, Rabha, Anena, there are 5 more sons. So Nahusha became a python. That story you know, right? So he was appointed as king in that episode. When who is that? Indra was in Manasarovar after killing Vritrasur. Then Nahusha was made the king. He said, I have become the king, I want the queen also. Right? The king's wife also I want. So then Sachidevi very intelligently told Nahusha, you come on a palanquin carried by sages. Right? So he was coming and then Agastya was slow or whatever. He said, oh, go fast, something like that. He was saying, sarpa, sarpa. Right? Go fast. He was saying like that. But you become a sarpa. So he became a sarpa. Like that. He fell down. Then Raji. So Indra surrendered heaven to Raji and reclaimed from his sons. So actually this Raji helped Indra in some way. Then Indra gave heaven to Raji. And after that, Raji's sons said that this heaven is ours only. I will not give back to Indra. Right? Then finally Indra reclaimed that from Raji's sons. So this is a big dynasty chart. You can't even read the names. So Nahusha's story we have briefly discussed earlier. So Nahusha's descendant story we will discuss now. Right? So when Nahusha became a sarpa or python or snake, so Yayati became the king. So his story is discussed now. So before that, some background is given. So there is one king called Vrishaparva, right? He's a Rakshasa king. So his daughter was Sharmishta. Then the guru of these demons was Sukracharya. His daughter's name was Devayani. So they both were friends. So they went inside a lake, right? And they were taking bath. So they came out. Because Shiva was passing by, they became a little ashamed. And then they came out and in haste, they just wore some clothes. And later they realized that Devayani was wearing Sharmishta's clothes, Sharmishta was wearing Devayani's clothes. Right? So far they were friends. But now, there was a question about their positions. Right? So Devayani says, I am a Brahmani, more powerful. Right? How dare you wear my clothes? Right? I am more powerful than you. Because when we are representing someone, that doesn't mean, representing means when we are connected to someone, it's not even representative also, they are not qualified to represent also. So when we are connected to someone, we may sometimes feel that the person whom we are connected to, his glory is my glory. Right? Our fortune is to get connected to a great person. That doesn't mean we become as great as the person we are connected to. So these two people, Devayani and Sharmishta, so they were thinking that they developed Brahmana ego, Kshatriya ego, both of them. Because your father, who is that Sukracharya, comes and begs alms from my father, Vrishaparva, you are maintaining yourselves. Then Devayani was thinking, because your father comes and offers obeisances to my father, right, who is that Sukracharya, you people are surviving. Right? Your father comes and falls at my feet. Falls at my father's feet. So their father's glory, they are thinking that it's their own glory, and they started having ego clashes. So they were happily staying together so far, but when there was a slight ego clash, then they became lifelong enemies. This is a very important point to note down. So in this material world, mostly two people are friends with each other as long as their egos are not disturbed. As long as there are situations where egos are not disturbed. Right? When ego gets disturbed, one's friend becomes enemy. Like that. So, hi Prabhu, hello Prabhu, Hari Bol Prabhu. So all this will happen when some ego clash is there. Oh, he did something that affected my ego. So how can I bear it? Then there is a fight. A volcano eruption will happen. That's what has happened. And to satisfy one's own ego, one can go to such an extent that he can make the other person lifelong servant maid. So what Devayani asked, just for taking her clothes, Devayani said, Sharmishta has to become my servant for the whole life. That's a severe punishment for the small mistake. And also, before that, Sharmishta also got agitated. right? She became so angry that, how can you say, I am just wearing your clothes, that doesn't mean that you say anything and everything to me. She took away her clothes and then put her in a dark well. Right? So one ego clash will just become big, and then become like a forest fire. Right? One spark due to some ego clash will become like a forest fire in future. So one needs to be extremely careful. The initial one step of tolerance could save so much of mishap in future. But if that is not addressed at that point, it could become aggravated later. So Devayani was thrown into this dark well, and poor Yayati, he comes there and then sees this poor girl, right, abused like this, and then he protects her. Then Devayani goes to her father and says, this Sarmishta, she misbehaved with me like this. Then Vrishabharva, he already came to know about this incident. He just comes running and then falls at the feet of Sukracharya and says, my dear Sukracharya, please forgive me, right? Because of your wrath, my kingdom should not be in trouble. So all that he says. Then Sukracharya, out of his deep affection for his daughter, he could have managed the situation in a better way, but he said, she will tell the punishment, right? She is an immature girl, right? Immature, childish girl. How can she take the call? Right? When the decision-making authority is given to an immature fellow, what will happen? This only will happen. So Sukracharya, he may have affection for his daughter. He should not become so blinded by the affection that he allowed the daughter to speak. Right? He could have handled in a different way. So, but the daughter spoke. This, I will be pacified only when this girl comes as a maid servant in my house for the rest of her life. Okay, this is what it is. You satisfy her desire, then I will not curse you or I will not do anything. Then Vrishabharva says, go. My dear daughter, this is what has happened. They are more powerful than us. What can we do? You go as maid servant. So she had to go as maid servant. So then, because of so much affection for her daughter, this Sukracharya wants Yayati. So now, because Yayati saw her naked and then some exchange has happened, so it was decided that Yayati will marry Devayani and Sarmishta will go as maid servant to Devayani's house. Then Sukracharya wants Yayati. So this girl, Sarmishta, is a king's daughter, right? So there the modes will match. A Kshatriya king is there, Kshatriya daughter is there. That's a better match. That's a regular match in trivial cases. But this Kshatriya king is marrying a Brahmana daughter, and a Kshatriya girl is coming as a maid servant. A Kshatriya girl was made to play the role of a Shudra servant, Sudrani servant or whatever, and a Brahmana girl was made a queen of a kingdom. So there is a lot of mishap happened here, right? So Sukracharya warned this Yayati, you should never associate with this Sarmishta, being compassionate to her or whatever, right? Because he already suspected, right? So she knows, she is a princess, she is not a maid, right? Because of some obligation, she is becoming a maid, but she is a princess. So he may have some affectionate feelings. Secretly, he may associate with her. So Sukracharya detected this. So eventually, Devayani comes to know that some affair was going on between Sarmishta and Yayati also. Then she went and complained to her father. And then father cursed, I curse you to become old man. Your youth is gone. But Yayati's youth is gone, but his lusty desires were not gone. Right? So he was still lusty towards this Devayani. Then Yayati begged youth from one of his sons. So Puru agreed to give. And Yadu, he did not agree to give, because Yadu was already aware that in future Krishna will take birth in my dynasty. Right? And if I just give my youth to my father and then after 1,000 years back he gives back my youth, and what, who will wait for all that? Right? I cannot delay Krishna's appearance. So for that reason, he denied. Other three people denied because of their own selfish desires. But Puru, he just gave the desire. He gave the daughter, gave his youth to his father. Right? See, the lust, to what extent that lust can take one person to. He is begging youth from his own son to enjoy their mother, enjoy his mother. Right? He is begging youth from a lady's son to enjoy with that lady. Right? It is like a totally disgusting proposal only. But his feelings did that, took him to such an extent. Right? So all these extreme examples should give us a very thorough signal that these anarthas are quite powerful. At any time, one can be afflicted by these anarthas. Right? So one has to be extremely careful. Right? So it's very difficult, right? But one needs to go to these sections whenever some we are getting affected by some problem or some anartha or something like that. Our Bhagavatam study should allow us to take shelter of that section. Oh, now this anartha is attacking me. Let me open that book. Let's see what Prabhupada had said in that context. Okay, let me open this. I am getting affected by false pride. Let me open Vallabhatta section in Chaitanya Charitamrita and then read that. I am getting affected by lust. Let me open Puru Rava and Aila Gita. Let me open Aila Gita and study. Right? Or I am getting affected by greed or something else. Then I will open Avanti Brahman and see. I am getting affected by what else? What anarthas you have? You, not you. Generally people, what anarthas people might have? All we have, give me some names. I just told 2-3 names. Envy. We have to open Prithu Maharaj section and Indra section and then read. Right? Envy can take one to any extent. So all these are quite powerful. So our Bhagavatam study should give us sufficient references, should equip us with sufficient references. It's not that by one studying we will never be affected by all these anarthas. We will definitely be affected, right? But the purpose or the advantage of this study is we will know where to take shelter when something is attacking us. Like that. We will immediately go to that section and then take shelter. Like that. So, disgusted with sexual enjoyments and its effects, Yati took to Vanaprastha. After 1,000 years of enjoyment also, he did not get that satisfaction. I am getting disgusted. What is this? Then he called Devayani and then spoke that story. So male goat and female goat, right? You know the whole story, right? It's basically Yati story only retold by making the characters change. Like male goat is Yati, female goat is Devayani, and the other goat is Sarmishta, and the goat's master is Sukracharya. So like that, there were some goat story. Right? So yeah, these realizations. Nothing can satisfy a person with uncontrolled senses. Controlling senses by fulfilling lusty desires is like pouring butter in fire. So all this contemplation he gives. Then even enjoying for 1,000 years, senses remain unsatisfied. Therefore I shall give up everything and meditate on the Supreme Lord. So another important thing is we can learn from the activities of all these great souls. Yati, Puru Rava, and so many people. But they are our heroes. If you understand. What is the conclusion of their story? They are coming to the conclusion that this material sense gratification is bogus, temporary, illusory, and there is no satisfaction or happiness in that. So we need to take shelter of Krishna, devotional service. That is their conclusion. How is the story ending? The end of the story, the conclusion of the story is devotional service to Krishna only. That's why they are finding place in Bhagavatam. Otherwise, why will this kind of romantic episodes will be described in Bhagavatam? How can such romantic stories be there in eternal scripture like Bhagavatam? Because the conclusion is Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. Like that. So, we cannot offend these personalities. Right? They are giving us lessons through their activities. some characters give us lessons on do's, some characters give us lessons on don'ts. Right? So, but the conclusion of this, all these do's and don'ts are positive and negative characters, is bhakti only. Krishna bhakti. So everyone is bringing us to that point. So material happiness is temporary and useless. That is the conclusion of the story. So one should not just get caught up in the details of the episode only, but most important is the conclusion of the episode. Right? And by meditating on the details, we can analyze thoroughly every element, every event in this event. What is provoking or what is instigating this personality to behave in this way? Right? So you go into deeper into his emotions and his feelings, then there are so many lessons hidden there. Right? There are so many lessons hidden in the purports, hidden in Chakravartiba's purports, hidden between the lines of Sukadeva Goswami's verses. Right? Some introspection and contemplation will reveal those lessons. And by listening from an experienced person, right, one who has studied several times, we'll get exposure to those lessons. Then we'll try to apply in our lives. So ninth canto, don't minimize the position of ninth canto. Oh, so many dynasties are there, so many small stories are there. It's okay. Ninth canto is very important because so many principles for personal application are there in this. And the negative side of a conditioned soul in this material world is very nicely depicted, and so many lessons for personal improvement and so many obstacles that could come in a sadhaka's life are analyzed thoroughly with nice case studies, and they are put in front of us so that we can learn like that. So next, the dynasty of Puru continues. So another episode is Dushmanta. Right? Dushmanta goes to the forest and then he sees the daughter of Kanava Muni, that is Shakuntala. Right? So this Shakuntala. Then again, he sees the lady and then he develops a desire to associate with her. And then they do some marriage. What is that marriage? Gandharva marriage? Gandharva marriage. See the lust. Okay, now I feel lusty about this girl. I will have to marry. So I will have to associate with her. For association, we need to get married. Okay, let's marry. So it's like that. Right? One more important thing is we can learn lessons from all these characters but never offend those characters. From their bad behavior or whatever, behavior which is not appropriate, inappropriate behavior, we can learn lessons for personal application. But we should not unnecessarily offend those personalities or criticize those personalities. Because there is always a growth phase. Right? Somebody is at this level today. Tomorrow he'll come to this level, day after tomorrow he'll come to this level, like that. His work in progress is happening. Right? So now what is the situation of Yayati or other, all these people? They are pure devotees. Is it not? How can you blame a pure devotee for his past? You can learn a lesson from the mistakes that happened in a devotee's life and you can understand what one should not do. But we should not blame the devotee. Oh, you have done like this, he's like this. We cannot say like that. We cannot blame someone for the past. So, every sadhu has a past. Every criminal has a future. Something like that is there, right? So, it's like that. So, we are discussing the past of some sadhus. Some pure devotees. Some great devotees. Exalted souls. Like that. Pururava's life conclusion is devotional service. Yayati's life conclusion is devotional service. Right? So, Nimi's conclusion is devotional service. Maybe he become angry with his guru. That's fine. That's fine. That's not fine. Right? We can understand that. But ultimately he's a devotee. Right? Kalmashapada. Ultimately he's a devotee. So everyone has some, because they are work in progress. While work is in progress, some things are here and there. Everything you can't see very nicely. When this building was being made, right? Inside there was no marble stone. There was a lot of kachra there. Right, this fan was not rotating like this. This roof was not like this. So now work completed. Now we are using it. When the work is progressing, then it was not proper. So all these stories are when the work was in progress, like that. So we need to understand. So the lineage from the Puru. Then we have Dushmanta. So Dushmanta married Shakuntala, and then Bharata, this boy came. and he was very powerful. He was considered that he is a, you know, expansion of Krishna, something like that was also mentioned about Bharata also. He performed 55 Ashwamedhas. So the story was, Bharata was born, and Dushmanta kind of, he could not accept this lady, right? This Shakuntala. So they united in the forest, and Dushmanta just came back to his kingdom, and Shakuntala came with the child to the kingdom, right? But the king has to protect his fame, that any lady would come and come with a child and say, I am your wife, right? Something like that might happen. But Dushyanta kind of, he did not agree immediately. But when some Akashvani came and said, please accept, don't insult that lady, she is your wife only, then he accepted, like that. So Bharat's glories are mentioned. He performed 55 Ashwamedha Yajnas and 78 Ashwamedha Yajnas at Yamuna. Right? So Bharat Muni, Bharata performed sacrifice for his son, and he gets the son named Bharadvaja. So Bharadvaja also had another background of lust only. Right? What is that? Brihaspati was impregnating the wife of his brother, right? Although she was pregnant. And the child was saying, don't do that. Then he curses the child, and then he forcefully associates with her. So all these were mentioned. So dynasty of Bharata is mentioned. You had some point.
I didn't read much detail.
He mentions what? Vibhuti. Okay. Okay, so we can explore. I don't know at this point. So, Rantidev. Another king in this episode is Rantidev. You know the story. So he was fasting, and then he was about to take some food, and so many demigods would come and beg for the food, and finally his water also was begged, and then he gives that for the welfare of these people who came to test. Then we have dynasties of Ajamidha, then Jarasandha, Shantanu, Pandavas, all these prominent names were there. Then dynasty of Yayati, and then finally we come to, after 3-4 chapters of description of so many names in the dynasties, we have the topic of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the reasons for Lord's appearance and Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees are briefly mentioned here. So Lord comes and performs so many activities to create a subject matter for all of us to hear. That is his mercy towards all of us. Unless the poor conditioned souls sit and hear the descriptions of Krishna, how will they be purified and how will they go back to Godhead? Right? So that's why Krishna comes and performs so many pastimes. And in the last, so many beautiful verses also come, some 3-4. Right? So that's the end of 10th canto, an overview, not detailed, which you have been hearing for almost a month. So thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments, clarifications, additions, subtractions? When is the grand test? I'll confirm today. I'll ask our Damodar Prabhu. If he's available on Monday, Tuesday, then we'll have 10th canto, 3rd chapter. If he's not available, then we'll have preparation leave on Monday and exam on Tuesday. And Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have the retreat. Last retreat by, of course, Rajan Prabhu can give in future also. But last retreat for your senior batch. Last Vidyapit retreat for your senior batch. So, the topic is Art of Revealing One's Mind in Confidence. Good topic. So, yeah, anything? That is on Wednesday and Thursday. Okay. Monday, Tuesday schedule, I'll confirm.